The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back on a Victory Monday brought to you by Chenega Miles, the 2024 Top Workplace. Visit careers with MIOS.com. Believe these are the updated stats for the team. They are now averaging 28.9 points per game. That is fourth.
Let's go,
in
baby.
The NFL.
Let's score the points. Let's do it.
So maybe there was a cliff bump, not a cliff.
Mm-hmm.
A little bump in the road.
Yeah.
But they got back on track yesterday, and they're averaging basically 29 points a game. All right, time now for a colleague check-in. Kevin Sheehan's host of the Kevin Sheehan Show on the Team 980 after us. What's up, Kevin?
What's up, boys?
Yeah, how much of that conversation were you having last week about the cliff slump in the second half of the season?
Yeah, I mean, we actually had everybody's been talking about it, but I think, you know, you guys probably talked about it as well. It's kind of been debunked a little bit. You know, it was more about, you know, his team's defenses and injuries more than it was about the offense. So at least we can put that to the side for at least 2 weeks.
Well, one of the things that, like, I saw Dan Orlovsky talk about it is that he said that the offense was becoming predictable, and though it's a minor thing and it seems like a goofy thing, the whole Terry lining up on the left side, first play of the game, they line him up on the right. So it wasn't that different. EB pointed out the numbers that it was only like three or four more snaps on the right side than usual, but at least he shook that up a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, I think we get wrapped up into that and the, you know, versus just the production against two excellent defensive teams in Pittsburgh and Philly. I mean, let's face it. I mean, Philly has shut everybody down, you know, including Baltimore yesterday. Pittsburgh's done it to a lot of teams as well. Last week was the first egg they laid, you know, all season long. And it was legitimate reason to be concerned. But I think the cliff thing just, you know, again, I'm sure most of you guys have talked about it now. Barnwell did a great job on ESPN last week, just going back and looking at the Texas Tech teams and the Cardinal teams. And you're talking defensive fall-offs much more so than offensive fall-offs. And, you know, injuries to players like Kyler Murray and DeAndre Hopkins. So there was a lot of that involved. I don't know. Cliff has been considered by everybody who's ever known him to be a really sharp offensive mind, great quarterback guy. You just, you know, I heard you guys coming in talking about points per game. They just shredded one of the better defenses this season in the NFL, the number one third down defense in the NFL. They were 9-for-14. Now, a lot of them were third and shorts, but I thought it was, you know, not only a good win and a necessary win, but it felt good to watch that offense get back to where it was in the first nine games.
Yeah, Kevin, coming into the week, I fell into the trap of, well, Tavondre Sweat and Jeffrey Simmons are doing a good job of, like, shutting down the opposing team's rushing attack, so I thought that might be a real hurdle for them. It wasn't. They go for over 260 rushing yards in what was just a laugher when you looked at the rushing yards from the Commanders compared to the Titans. Like, they just established their will early, and that was like the biggest offensive mainstay of the game.
Yeah, and it wasn't fake. I mean, Joe Mixon had 22 yards on 14 carries last week. Their biggest issue all year long has been just self-destructive kind of turnovers and penalties and special teams plays, etc. And we saw a lot of that yesterday, but they couldn't stop anything. You know, it started with a lot of the quick passing game stuff that I thought Cliff got away from a little bit too much over the last three games. I think like 7 out of the first 10 passes or 11 passes were, you know, three-step drop or even, you know, quicker than that. And then once you have a quarterback like Jaden that's part of the run game, you can just see the defense. They don't know if he's going to keep it or if he's going to give it. And that was one of the best rushing performances against a good defense that we've seen anywhere this year. They were just dominant. I thought the offensive line bounced back in a big way because they kind of got handled last week by Dallas, and they weren't completely healthy. You know, you had Cornelius Lucas starting at right tackle. So it's good vibes going into the bye week, because if they had sneaked by like 13-10, I don't think I'd feel the way I feel today. It's like we saw what they were capable of in the first nine games, and then there was, you know, all of the ridiculous sort of debunked Cliff talk, but also just the quarterback hitting the rookie wall. All of that was coming into play, and it's like, no, they actually are very capable offensively, and they showed it yesterday.
Talking to Kevin Sheehan from the Kevin Sheehan Show on the Team 980, and I'm going to make you the GM of the Commanders.
Ooh, that's a pay bump. Unless
kicker. You're going to ask me about the kicker.
Absolutely. Yep. We addressed it earlier. We've got different opinions. What does GM Kevin Sheehan do?
I don't know. You got to bring guys in, don't you?
Yes.
What if Baltimore unloaded Justin Tucker?
I brought that up hypothetically.
But you know that's not going to happen, though.
He's already said he's not going to.
I don't think so, but I mean, my God, the dude has the yips right now. You've got to look. I mean, look, it's not. It was a 46-yarder and what, a 50-yarder? I think 51-yarder, something like that.
Yeah. They're not gimmies.
No, but in the NFL, almost anything under 50 is like a gimme in this day and age.
I mean,
there have been a lot of missed field goals recently. Yeah. I don't know. I think you got to look. You have to look.
Guy wasn't working for the last couple of seasons.
But Kevin, we've also talked about this. They had horrible luck with the McManus situation because he was going to be their guy.
Yeah.
And I understand why the team had to make the decision to cut him. I get it. But it turned out to be, you know, a fraudulent report or a charge. So he goes to Green Bay. He had missed a kick.
I know.
I mean, that would have been your guy
yesterday. Nearly set the NFL record. He had a 68-yarder on the final play, and it was like a half yard to a yard short. It seems like so many kickers over the years, whether it's Hopkins or I don't know, they always go somewhere else and kick well. They should be looking. I mean, if you're the GM, to answer the question, you're always looking when you have a problem at that position, and right now it's an issue.
Yeah. All right. So how are you feeling now? 8-5. They're the seventh team. They're the last wild card. You know, they've got the head to head against Arizona. They have to play Atlanta, and Cousins looked awful yesterday. All right. So you got really winnable games, certainly in the next two with New Orleans and Atlanta. Philly, I'm going to give them a loss, especially if Philly's still chasing Detroit for the one seed overall. And then you've got Dallas. So, I mean, you go 2-2, and you think you're a lock for the seventh seed?
Yeah. I'm going to give you guys something because I just looked this up a little while ago. So you get to 10, you're in. But here's here's what I think the most important thing is. If we're thinking, you know, beyond just getting in, because the seventh seed is likely going to have to go to Philly or to Detroit.
Correct.
Or to the NFC North winner. Let's just assume it's Detroit. The team that you've got to chase down for the sixth seed is the Packers, and you would win, Washington would win a tiebreaker against Green Bay based on the conference record. This is a little bit ahead of ourselves, I understand, but I was just looking at the tiebreakers and the conference record. If Green Bay, they still have Seattle, Detroit, and Minnesota on the road.
And the Lions
so
this
if
week.
You can,
yeah. Short
week. If you can make a run to get to the sixth seed or to tie Green Bay, you got to root against Green Bay the rest of the way. Then you go to Seattle or Atlanta or Tampa or Arizona, and you got a shot. Because right now, Philly and Detroit really do look head over the rest of the conference.
Yeah, Green Bay, short week this week. They play
Detroit.
Like Detroit, and then they play, like you said, they play Seattle on the road, and they still got to play Minnesota. Wow.
Yeah, so that's the team that, you know, anybody chasing that seven also has to think about the six. But ahead of ourselves, yeah, of course. Win 2-10 is a lock. With their conference record, I think that it would be a lock.
But you know what I'm nervous about? Just being a diehard, and I know you are too, Kev, I think. That we've been through this before. We've been part of all the swoons, the week to week. You never know what you're going to get. So I'm nervous. We had the 10 days before the Cowboy game, and frankly, in my opinion, it appeared we came out flat. I'm sure the guys tried, but whatever. Now we're going to have 2 weeks. We're going to get healthier, going to get Lattimore back. Like, on paper, everything looks great, but how do we avoid what looks so terrible against the Cowboys? You know what I mean? I don't know. This is my paranoia.
Yeah, I mean, look, I don't think any of the games the rest of the way are going to be easy. I mean, they'll only be a short favorite at New Orleans. Mm-hmm. They'll be an underdog at home against Philly. You know, the Falcons right now are in free fall. And then who knows what Dallas will be playing for in that season finale. But I'm with you. It's like, I really think they're led by their offense. I understand the defense had a great day yesterday. It was also the score got sideways after the two turnovers, and Tennessee never had a chance to run the football. I still think they are vulnerable against the run, and that's still my concern the rest of the way. But offensively, that's their calling card. If they can do what they did yesterday, stay on the field on third downs, they've got a dynamic quarterback, they've got a run game when they're healthy, for sure, with Brian Robinson Jr., and they've got a star as their number one wide receiver. They can, you know, they should be able to win two of these final four.
Even though he hasn't been super productive, like breakout productive. I'm going to tell you. I'm because kind of setting it up. And we've been waiting for this for years, but man, it seems to me this year more than others, when Diami gets an opportunity, he's taking advantage. Why doesn't he get more opportunities?
I love that. I think you're seeing them realize he's got a burst, he's got speed,
he's
got playmaking ability, and it looks like they're trying to target him a little bit more. Mm-hmm. He's the one that's been involved in fly sweeps and jet sweeps and reverses. And I'm with you. I think he's a weapon with that speed and playmaking ability. So, and I also think yesterday we saw for the first time that they realized Luke McCaffrey can get open. That was a nice confidence builder on that fourth down, even though, you know, the game was, you know, completely over. But I'm with you on Diami. I think there's something there, and I think they're going to continue to try to feed him a little bit.
You know, a guy that doesn't have speed on the other end of the spectrum, but he is effective, is Zach Ertz. And that's another one of those signings by Peters. I think it was a one-year, $5 million deal where he can kind of tutor Sinnott, the draft pick. But he's been a guy that Jaden's leaned on now with touchdowns in three straight games.
Yeah, and I think the pick was a high ball for Ertz. He's had some drops. I mean, Jaden's had a lot of balls dropped on him and did during that three-game losing skid. But I think, you know, you heard Quinn after the game just talk about Wagner, talk about Ertz. I know he feels the same way about Eckler, even though he's out. These are the guys that they brought in to kind of set, you know, the thing that we don't really identify with as much as they understand, and that's that whole culture thing. And you know, when they get into this three-game losing skid, facing adversity with guys that understand how to get you out of it. And I'm with you. Like, I know a lot of the fans are like, Ertz can't gain a yard after he catches the ball, but he's 6'6". He's a huge target, and Jaden loves him.
And look, if he's throwing it to him in the end zone, he doesn't have to gain another yard. He's already there.
Kevin, I'm not sure what your plans were on Thanksgiving. I assume you watched some of these games. What was your thought on the Eberflus gaffe, not calling the timeout with 33 seconds left?
It's one of the worst ever. I mean, it was truly amazing that, you know, the strategy of not banging the timeout right away isn't the worst strategy, but you got to be prepared to get up quickly and run another play and get the yards and then call the timeout to kick the field goal. You know, Caleb actually, he deserves some of the blame. He's a quarterback, for crying out loud. I understand he's a rookie and he's got a lot on his plate, but once he tried to check out of the play that got called in, can't do that with the clock rolling down. But he's so clueless, Eberflus has been after the fact, that to me that's the fireable offense, is that he didn't realize that that 13-yard throw to Terry before the Hail Mary was significant.
I brought
Seriously?
That up before.
Hey, it's Mark Schler with the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. The NFL season is in full swing, and I'll be here to break down all the action like no one else can. Follow and listen to the Stinkin' Truth Podcast on your free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah.
And then, you know, to not understand and to call the handling of it correct on Thanksgiving Day, somebody that clueless shouldn't be, you know, the number one kind of decision maker on the football field on game day. So I know they've never, I don't think they've ever fired a coach in season, but I can't imagine anybody had any faith in him after that.
Kevin, great stuff, man. Have a great show.
All right, guys.
Yep. Thank you.
Good talking to you, man. You can listen to the Kevin Sheehan Show after us on the Team 980. We'll come back with more here on the Junkies.